We are so glad that you are here with us this morning as we get a chance to worship together. I thank you for making the time and taking the time to join us online to be here in this room together. A couple things that I want to share with you as we get started. Number one, tomorrow we will do a Monday is Friday opportunity over in Kernersville. And so if you are in that part of town, please come and join us at the Dario for lunch. You don't have to have French fries with your meal. You can order a salad if you want. Order what you want. Don't order anything. I don't care. Let's just have some time together. Let's be family in the middle of all the other things that we've got going on. Number two, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of our Celebrate. We're going to be right out here. Bring a lawn chair. We'll circle around. We will sing a little bit. We will have a short devotional and then just a time to fellowship and be together as a family. And so as we go through, again, times of mass, times of COVID, all these other things going on, we're going to try to be safe and cautious. We're going to try to continue to be together. We're going to try to work together and walk through this as best we can. We are trying to learn and work together. And I just want to commend our elders for their leadership throughout all of this and making decisions that we know as we're walking in is not going to match and fit with everybody's wishes and wants. But yet they are still striving to serve and to submit and encourage and bless our congregation as we go through. And I thank them for their leadership, for their love, for their desire for us to be a family together. And I would encourage you to sit down sometime this week and just jot a note to these four men and their wives as they continue to serve and to lead and do that in a way that hopefully is a blessing. Let them know that you love and support them. I think that'll be a great encouragement. Throughout this month, we are not having our KFC, our Kids for Christ program during the sermon time, and so our kids are in here. There is a special little handout that I make that kind of goes along with some of the things that are going to go on the screen. This is for the kids, those that are school age, able to kind of watch and read and do some of that. Those papers are out there in the foyer. Pick those up. Two more things I just want to share with you. We are getting some new communion cups. And so this morning we have some gluten-free in a special little basket out there. Next week we will have this available for everybody. This cup is a little bit different. The bread is on the bottom. You're going to peel that. You're going to pull back. And there will be the bread on the other top. You'll pull out the juice. And so instead of being on both end or the same end, it'll be on opposite ends. Look for those. Hopefully, word is, these taste so much better. If you disagree, don't tell me. But hopefully it does. And last but not least, there is a box of tomatoes and corn out there, again, from the Branch Ranch. And I don't know if this is a little bit worrisome. Now we now have fresh tomatoes to throw at the preacher or what the intent was. But hopefully you will get to get to pick some of those up and enjoy that as well. We are in Ephesians chapter 5. We have been walking through Ephesians together, and I pray that what we are saying and doing will really drive us into reading and spending some time in this wonderful book. I think it's so apropos for our day and age, what we are going through right now, that it really presents what we are dealing with in so many ways. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at these different chapters. Chapter 1, we are talking about when you believe. And Paul writes, and he's so clear, he says, when you believe, you were marked with the Holy Spirit. You were given the seal of redemption. At this very moment, God claims you as part of His. He put something special onto you. In chapter 2, then he says, when you believe, we are united. And Paul gives this special claim to what is happening to the believers, that they are being used to build up, not just be a mark for or a sign of the Holy Spirit living in them, but they are going to be built up together to be this wonderful dwelling place that God and His Spirit will live in. When you believed, we are united. I want us to understand that that is the focus of God's spiritual plan. He is drawing us together. And then chapter 3 Paul writes so much about this idea of grace, that we are in grace. He starts off, he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles this boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery that had been hidden throughout the ages. This grace that is given to us. We are believing in God, and we are marked with His seal, His Spirit. We are united as one body. And it is not because of our good efforts. It's not because of our intellect. It's not because of our moral character, though we are striving in all of those, correct? It is not because of those, but it is because of God's grace that we are now included into God's family. In chapter 4, we were taught that we are bound in peace. We are literally tied together, you and me, in this spirit of cooperation, of unity and love for one another. And he calls it this bond of peace. So that when you and I disagree on masks or communion or the length of the service or political issues or whatever may it be, we are bound, preacher, to deal with one another peacefully, like true brothers in Christ, like a true family. We are bound together. We are committing to one another that that's how we are going to live. And now Paul is going to take this one step further. And it's not just a bond of peace, like you're forced to and I'm forced to be in this relationship, and somehow we're going to have to give up and just shut up and sit down to get along. But he's going to talk about this in chapter 5, that we are submitting to one another. This is a choice that we are going to do in our own minds. We are going to submit to one another. And I think of all the lessons that we could be talking about right now, this is most apropos. I want you to listen to what Paul says in this chapter as he so clearly defines what he means to submit to one another. The value of what this really means and how it plays out in our life, in our church, and in our home. Submitting to one another is so crucial. And next week, we're going to wrap up this study in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at this idea that we will stand together. And this isn't just a standing as like we're going to stand for the final song. This is a stand as the military, as the police officers are there with their riot gear. They are holding their line. They are on the front lines of the battlefield, and they are standing their ground. We are standing together. It is not a wimpy. It is not just a lackadaisical. This is purposeful. This is strong. This is with intent. Military style of standing together that he's going to be talking about, and it is so powerful. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and read with me these first two verses. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I want you to see in these two verses, Paul reiterates these main points of this whole book that Paul is writing to us here. He's saying, follow Christ's examples. This is right at the beginning. He says, when you believed, he is putting this into Christ's purpose and direction, that we believed what happened to Christ when he was put on the cross. When you believed, you were marked with a seal. When you believed in the way of Christ's life, you were following, and now we are participating in that. We are joining in this. Second thing he says is, as dearly loved children. I want us to notice that this is how we are united. We are not individuals disconnected from one another, but we are united as dearly loved children, God's family. And he writes here the same thing. Follow Christ or God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. I want you to notice the relationship that we have. You go back just a couple of chapters, and Paul was saying that we now have confidence to enter into God's throne, to approach Him. This is the blessing of being God's children. So far, or far too often, we forget, we neglect this truth. And then he says that we... Wow, my clicker's not working well today. Go back one more. That Christ loves us. He says, follow God's example as dearly loved children. Walk this way just as Christ loved us. I want us to notice that this is the intimate relationship again of what God does for us. When we believed, He united us as family, as His children. He marks us with His seal. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in unison throughout this whole story to draw us together in every aspect of our lives. And He shows us this example just as Christ has loved us. This is the initiation of the relationship that God is putting forth first, this effort. He's setting an example. He's inviting us into this relationship. This was a fragrant offering and a sacrifice. We know this is a beautiful scene. This is a wonderful smell as you might go home on one of those special Sundays when grandma was fixing the pot roast and the rolls were just coming out of the oven and you walk in and you just smell that beautiful smell of aroma of lunch. You walk in later sometime into your mom's house and there the cookies were coming out of the oven or a pie was just coming out of the oven and the whole house smells wonderful. This is what Christ's smell is for the world. And we know that it was a sacrifice. Paul says that he gave himself up as a fragrant offering. This is something pleasing to God, but it was a sacrifice. It was something that was given with great cost and great consequence. But finally, Paul writes in these four verses that we are to walk in this way. I want you to notice that this is our calling. Far too often, Christianity becomes a non-participatory sport. It becomes just something that we watch, something that just happens inside our minds. It is something that just happens in this box. But Christianity is supposed to change our lives Monday through Friday and even on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. We are to submit to one another. Listen how he says it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That our relationship gets simplified to this. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If Christ means anything to you, then what you do to me should resemble that blessing or that honor that you would give to Christ. If Christ means anything to me, then how I treat you, how I deal with you, how we handle those distinctions and those frustrations, those differences in our life, it will be modeled after how Christ has dealt with us. I don't need to have a show of hands, but far too often, we don't live that way, do we? We live in a way that when you hurt me, I'm going to what? Hurt you, right? Isn't that kind of our worldly model? It's a dog-eat-dog world. If you come after me, I'm going to come after you. Vengeance. Revenge. Dealing with somebody who is in the same way that they have treated you is how we normally live. And so Paul takes this simple concept that we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And he's going to put it into three different worlds real quick. And he's going to snap our attention right to the line of what it looks like to really submit to one another. He's going to talk to us that we are going to submit to one another in everyday life. All around the world, in every interaction, the way that we deal with mankind should be in this manner. He is going to say, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. Don't get drunk on wine. Live in this way that is purposeful and right. Paul is going to draw our attention to our relationships. He talked earlier about our sexual immorality or purity. He's going to talk about our obscenities and our foolish talk. He's going to be talking about giving thanks or all of these different attributes of our lives. And he draws our attention to our everyday moments. But he also is speaking about what's happening in our church. What is going on when we are believers gathering together? I think it's ironic that in this passage where Paul is drawing our attention to this idea of submitting to one another so clearly, so strongly, he brings it to the attention of Christ, and how I deal with you is how I am dealing with Christ. But I think it's ironic that in this passage, so many churches have got distracted by this one word in the middle of verse 19 that says, sing and make music, and we get distracted on how we are going to interact with people. I know that there is a camp in which it says for the duration of the disciples, for centuries after, that the heritage that we have was an a cappella heritage. They sang without instruments. And I know that there's a camp that deals with this and says, but they were singing the psalms and the hymns, these things from Scripture that encourage, that draw in instruments. And that was all before, and it's even maybe pointing to what heaven is going to be like. And so these two differing opinions about this one verse, then we somehow lose our respect for one another. If you differ from me, then we cannot be in fellowship with one another. Paul is writing just the opposite. When you differ with one another, you should confer, you should bend, you should give to the other person, you should submit in this relationship. It is exactly what he is writing about. A few weeks ago, we were at lunch. And I was sitting at a table. This was the Monday is Friday kind of deal. And I was sitting across the table from a couple people. And we started talking about COVID and vaccines. Woo-hoo! One was for the vaccine. One was against the vaccine. And in short order, it got not out of control, but we were having a strong conversation about what is right and what is wrong. The table next to me, somebody asked, do you prefer Coke or Pepsi? You may remember that Kyle posted up that one on our Facebook, and we had a lot of discussion on which is right. And they had a heated discussion about Coke or Pepsi. And in the middle of that, Scott Mills jokingly says, hey, this COVID, this Coke, Pepsi kind of conversation is too much. Let's talk about something a little bit more friendly. Let's talk about politics. When we deal with one another, we are going to differ in our opinions and understandings and perspectives. We are going to have differences in so many areas of our lives. And so I want us to understand this one word. I want you to see what Paul is saying when he writes this word about submit out of reverence for Christ. That we are to be just like Christ. I want you to ask yourself this question as you go through this week. Am I living like Christ in this moment? I've seen so many people try to defend what they're going to do in certain situations based on this, and then they slap the other person and say, this is how you are going to act like Christ. That's not the Christ method. If I am going to choose to wear my mask out of Christ's love, then I will give grace to those that see different. If I am going to participate in this, whatever situation, in this politics, in this moment of my life, and I set the rule for myself that this is somehow God's answer, but it's not a biblical, it's not a written in verse, and I hold it to you, we're not submitting to one another. This concept of submit is significant. Because Paul could have used this word. He could have said, admit. Like we are going to allow, we're going to give entrance. We're going to be the gatekeeper for the church, and we're going to admit one another. He could have said, commit to one another. Like make a commitment, build a bond between you and one another in this. We're going to control, we're going to determine. He could have said, emit. That we're going to broadcast, we're going to project, we're going to declare what is right. He could have said, omit. We're going to strike out, we're going to declare what is wrong in one another's lives, and we're going to omit those things. We're going to permit, we're going to be the allowance, we're going to be the judge, we're going to be the giving of the grace in those moments. But he said, submit to one another. Submit to one another. As subatomic, subliminal. This is the smaller. This is the lower. This is a different track than we normally will take in our lives. We don't like to project a smaller persona. We want to be bigger than we normally are. We want to be stronger than we normally are. We want people to understand that we come from a high position. But he says, submit to one another. Lower yourself, just as Christ did. And I want us to think about that for just a moment. Because in Philippians chapter 2, it says that Christ humbled himself. He gave up everything so that he could be born in human likeness, so that he could become a servant, so he could give up his life. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. In our bulletins, there's a story of a beautiful couple, Roger and Becky. The story is told that early in their marriage, they were starting to have some communication challenges. They were disconnecting from one another. They were getting frustrated with each other. And one night, Becky decided she didn't have the words to argue. She didn't have the energy. And so she just wrote down a love note, put it under his pillow. He went to bed, found that note. A few hours later, when she finally came to bed, there was another note now under her pillow. And for the next few nights, they exchanged these notes under each other's pillow and slowly started to repair the communication challenges between their life. They continued that for a practice of 18 years. The story in the bulletin is of Roger as he's developing dementia, as he's losing his memory and relationship. And one night he writes this letter to his wife, aching about what is going on in his world, that he's losing the grasp of what is going on. Fear of what he may lose, not just his memory, but his relationship again. And she writes back to him, and she says, I will continue to go on loving you and caring for you, not because you know me or remember our life, but because I remember you. I will remember the man who proposed to me and told me he loved me. The look on his face when his children were born, the father he was, the way he loved our extended family. I'll recall his love for writing, hiking, and reading, his tears at sentimental movies, the unexpected witty remarks, and how he held my hand while he prayed. I cherish the pleasure, obligation, commitment, and opportunity to care for you. because I remember you. I want us, in all aspects of our life, to submit to one another as an example of Christ. Paul goes on to talk about husbands and wives, that dear and intimate relationship that's so easily broken by a harsh word or a strong opinion. But today is the day that we are going to walk back home. We are going to stand before our spouse and let them know that we're not coming from a place of position or power, but of love and submission. Today is the day that we're going to walk outside of this building and we're going to grab a brother or sister and say, I love you more than I care about. And you fill in the blank of the issue, of the politics, of the whatever that might be driving a wedge. Today is the day that you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call a relative or a friend or a coworker. And not with strong words, not with harsh tones, but with calmness and meekness and love. You will ask for a relationship in which you will be able to engage and communicate and express who Christ is to you. Brothers and sisters, follow God's example as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and he gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Someone once said, what the world needs now is love. There's no better place to start that tidal wave of love than from the church who has experienced God's love firsthand. If you need prayers and counsel, our shepherds are going to be standing by. They would love to help you and direct you, to counsel you and correct, help you with your words as you speak into these difficult moments. Our office is open throughout the week. Come by and pray with us and let us study with you. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, there is no better time than right now to be baptized, washed clean of all of your sins, to walk anew with him, to be joined in this family and be given a place of purpose and of real strength. Brothers and sisters, let's stand together. Let's encourage each other with this song.
Lord, take my life.